All right, welcome. It is Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN. Just a quick search of the internet. I don't really find any compelling corroboration or compelling evidence that the moon landings were faked. In the 10 minutes I had during the break, not something I've spent a lot of time looking into, I did see one article that said one thing that every astronaut who walked on the moon had in common, according to one interviewer, was they all looked absolutely bonkers. Well, I don't know. I don't know what space travel does to somebody. I don't know what it does to their brains. I do know that it does make you a little bit taller for a very short period of time because of the absence of gravity. It's a space travel, not necessarily a trip to the moon. I guess I failed to see what advantage, the advantage versus the risk of the advantage just don't seem to work out in my equation of things. But don't claim to be an expert on the alleged faking of the moon landing. And I think one of Stanley Kubrick's relatives was actually with Stanley Kubrick when we were supposedly landing on the moon, which kind of takes the fun out of that theory. But anyway, conspiracy theories, that's a different show altogether. 803-0930, if we could build you a time machine and take you anywhere, and we gave you a video camera, and you could come back and show us what you think would be pretty cool to show us, one or two, maybe three events, knock yourself out. Also, this is a big week, as you probably know, for travel. And many people will be on the roads, and many people will be in the airports. Do you have any indication whatsoever, not indication, but you have any horror stories whatsoever about, and don't name airlines with this, don't name airlines, air travel horror stories. And I had an air travel horror story a few weeks ago, and it involved a major airline that I shall not name. Four separate jets of the 737, 800, 900 series. Each of those jets, the toilets were not working. Every single toilet was not working. Did I write a complaint letter? I most certainly did, because it was absolutely disgusting. It was foul, like beyond imagination. So if you've had, and that's about as well. Oh, the other horror story with airports or air travel. I'm just going to say three words: Newark International Airport. If there is hell on earth, it's Newark International Airport. It's too big, and nobody knows where you are supposed to go. It was, I don't want to say hellish, but it was not a lot of fun. Newark International Airport. All right, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. We'll see where you guys want the show to go. It's really up to you here as we are on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And tomorrow I'll be with David Bellavia from 10 to noon talking about the JFK assassination 60 years on. And he will be with me from 4 until 6. Steve in Hamburg, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hello there, Tom. One of the moments in time that I'd like to go back to, there's a lot, but there's one that has just always intrigued me. It's I'm a history buff, fanatic, whatever, and it happens in 1783 in Newburgh, New York, and the officers of the American Army are contemplating a revolt and marching on Congress to get back pay and everything. And George Washington gets wind of this revolt of his officers. And he goes to and they're having a meeting, and he goes uninvited to this meeting, and he starts talking to the officers in this meeting, and they're unhappy. They're not listening to him. He's not getting through. And finally, he reaches, he had written out some things that he wanted to say to him, and he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a paper, and he looks at it, and at that moment he looks at the officers and he says to them, I fear that I have not only had my hair go white, but I am losing my sight in service of my country, so to speak. And he reaches in and he pulls out a pair of glasses and he puts them on his face at that moment. And the room just, the officers break up, and, many of them are, start crying because they look at this man and they realize he has sacrificed more than any of them has. He went home to Mount Vernon once during the Revolution. And just at that moment where he pulls out the glasses and he says that, I fear that I am going blind in service to my country, the revolt is over. It's done. And they just quietly walk away, and that's the end of it. And I would love to be in the room at that moment to see that happen, to see the respect that people can have for one man. It's incredible. That was it.
No, that's a pretty cool story. I was actually not familiar with that story at all, but it's pretty cool. I mean, obviously that certainly happened. We're not talking about the moon landing conspiracy theories, but it also amazes me that the Confederate Army did not have more widespread revolts toward the end of its existence. The Army of Northern Virginia, which showed the enormous respect those guys had for Robert E. Lee. I mean, they weren't eating. They could not support themselves. They were wearing rags. They had no shoes. And yet they didn't give up until they were told to give up.
Well, it's leadership, but there was revolts. They killed people. I mean, Washington had dealt with a couple of revolts, one from the Pennsylvania Line, a regiment, and another regiment. And part of that was from the Maryland regiment, which he considered his regiment. And, they took people out and shot them for treason. So... it wasn't unheard of, and that happened in the Confederate Army, too. But overall, when you had leaders that were sacrificing just as much as you were, it's a little bit different than when you have a leader, say, Westmoreland in Vietnam, who is running a war from an air-conditioned office in Saigon or whatever. You don't understand what I'm saying?
Kind of.
I just think it's a much different thing. But that moment, to see that room, and every account that I have read about it, it's the emotion of it. The officers, they just look at him, and they just realize, my God, what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, I can't find the exact number of U.S. soldiers during the American Revolution who were executed for treason as opposed to desertion or sleeping on duty. Can't find those numbers at the flip of a coin. But that Newberg story certainly is interesting, and I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that on video. I'd like to see his speaking technique. And obviously, we have no way of knowing what the voice of George Washington actually sounded like.
Right.
What if he sounded like Truman Capote? Wouldn't that be a letdown?
Well, they always talked about Patton's voice. If you hear the voice of Patton, he's this rough, tough guy, and he had this high, pipsqueaky type of voice whenever you hear recordings of him. And it's just like, that voice doesn't fit the image of that man.
Okay, Tanner, you got to find a voice recording of the real George Patton. Not George C. Scott as George Patton. You got to get us some audio of the real George Patton so we can make sure that our caller is correct. See, it's impossible to watch Patton without imagining that George C. Scott really was Patton.
Listen to the real Patton and you'll say, oh, holy cow, there's a little artistic license.
Well, hey, just because somebody's got a good or a bad voice, it says nothing about their leadership abilities. But at least some generals didn't shoot donkeys because they were holding up a convoy. Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. And, you know, you talk about conspiracy theories, too. There's a conspiracy theory that George Patton actually was killed by OSS because he was actively and openly lobbying the Americans to team up with former Nazis to go after the Soviet Union, which probably would have been a really stupid move at that point, because the Soviet Union was firing on all cylinders with tremendous amounts of help, I might add, from the United States. Of course, we did have the A-bomb at that time. George Patton, on his deathbed, I believe he said, "Don't punish the guy who ran into my vehicle." Anyway, it is coming up on 20 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Talking about a couple of things. Number one, the time machine question, which you guys seem to really have latched onto. And the other, in that it's Thanksgiving week, any horror stories about traveling, particularly on airlines, but it might be train, might be automobile, in addition to planes. Hey, somewhere there's a title for a movie. And it might not even have been Thanksgiving. Traveling is, I think most of us enjoy traveling, but we don't like traveling. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Man, this time travel thing is just, this blows me away. Here's Dave in Buffalo. Dave, no travel horror stories. I mean, we're talking about time travel, but in the real world, no travel horror stories you've experienced?
No travel horror stories. With respect to that caller that doesn't believe in the moon landing and others like that.
Hey, Dave, I have questions about some stuff here. I'm going to put you on hold and get back to you. So hold on, if you would. Here is Tony in Elma on WBEN. Tony, you are on. Hello.
Hi, Tom. How are you today?
Hello, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to go back to the days of the Roman Empire. I'd like to go to the Colosseum and witness a gladiator fight.
You're the second person to mention gladiators.
Well, you know, you see it on TV, but I'd like to see how these guys really handle swords and shields, and I'd like to see, well, you know, what criteria the emperor had to spare one or not spare one at the end of a fight, who, you know, the guy who was defeated, whether he gets spared or not. You know, I'd just like to see it and film it.
So, do you have a favorite gladiator movie?
Probably the one with what's his name?
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a modern classic, no doubt about that.
Yeah, but I would have liked to have seen the real deal.
Well, it would be fascinating to see what they really did, but at the same time, it would have been incredibly gory.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just like the Battle of Gettysburg, I suppose. But, I mean, just like bloodshed like you can't even begin to imagine.
Well, that's true.
So, are you a big Russell Crowe fan?
No, actually, I'm not. In fact, I'm not a big... I really don't care for him as an actor. But,
really?
You know, I watch the movie.
Well,
I'm interested in seeing this Napoleon coming out with Joaquin Phoenix, although not a big fan of his either, but I'd like to see the movie.
But he was also in Gladiator. He was Commodus in Gladiator.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was in that movie. Yeah, he was the emperor, right.
Yeah, so for a guy who doesn't like these actors, you're sure interested in the movies they do.
Well, yeah, you know, the movies are on. I watch them.
Did you see Joker?
No, I didn't catch that one.
Yeah, it's pretty dark. It's pretty dark, but it's also an amazing performance by Joaquin Phoenix. I'll say that much.
Well, I watched the remake of Death Wish with Bruce Willis. I thought that was very interesting.
But, you know, I didn't see the Death Wish remake with Bruce Willis, but Bruce Willis also did a remake of The Day of the Jackal, and it was called simply The Jackal. And as a movie, it's not bad, but The Day of the Jackal, 1973, Fred Zinnemann, is an absolute, like, classic. I could watch that over and over and over again.
Yeah, well, Bruce Willis. I like his movies.
Yeah, Bruce Willis, unfortunately, is not doing very well.
Yeah, now he's not doing well.
And, you know, at least he's got a supportive family. All right, so the gladiatorial combat. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Thank you. We do have a number of people, apparently, who are into, do you like movies about gladiators? It is coming up on 26 minutes after 5. I'm thinking of Ralph Cifaretto and the Sopranos. They didn't have flat tops in ancient Rome. All right, we'll continue this, and holiday or travel horror stories, if you have any you want to tell, or we can just stick with the time machine thing. I'm cool with that. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Tanner Saunders, we have the voice of George Patton ready to go, the real voice.
Flying down from Nova Scotia today, I was looking at the country as I always do, and there was something wrong. There were no shell holes.
Yeah, nothing wrong with George Patton's voice. Nothing wrong. That's a fine voice. And recording techniques are a little bit better today, and compression techniques are better today than they were back then. I give George Patton's voice a thumbs up. How could you not? 27 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. More calls coming up after the news at 5:30. Well, I didn't realize this was going to be like a two-day extravaganza, but I'll take it. It's a holiday week. What the hell? Anyway, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, I guess nobody has horror stories from the world of travel. Maybe you will after Thanksgiving. I don't know. But I'll tell you, you have not lived until you've been on four separate jets that are modern jets, super modern, and not a single toilet on any of them actually works. I showed the photograph of the one of the offending commodes to a pilot who flies the same model, who was a friend of mine, and he said, "Tom, I wouldn't even have taken off with the sanitary facilities in such a condition." Now, the good news is the airline and I did reach an accommodation. So, hey, in this life, you can negotiate anything, anything. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. The only thing you can't negotiate is more time. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. If you're just joining us, by popular demand, and I think I'm stunned by the popularity of the topic, if we gave you a time machine, you would like to go back and see what? You know what I can't believe? I can't believe nobody has said, "Hey, I'd like to go back and see what the dinosaurs really looked like." Or were the dinosaurs faked and staged like the moon landing? Huh? Maybe the dinosaurs never really existed. Carl in Dallas, Texas, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Before I get into my travel horror story, I would say simply that I wouldn't mind going back and seeing my conception and my birth. I know that sounds weird, but that would be interesting.
Okay, can I just be really brutally honest with you? That sounds like really sick. Okay, I'm sorry. Seeing your conception, none of us wants to think of our parents doing the horizontal bop. Come on, dude. There's some issues there. You got to resolve. I'm not a psychiatrist, but come on.
There's so many other things people would normally want to see, which I heard, and I said, I got to come up with something really different and unusual, and that's the only thing that popped in my mind.
Different, unusual, and perverse, yes. I think, would be the possible final word on that. Okay, why?
Exactly.
Why would you like to see your own conception?
Well, the same reason I wanted to see my own heart surgery. I asked if they could put up a mirror and give me a local, and they said no, obviously.
Okay, but that's totally different. You're talking about yourself watching yourself. You're not talking about your parents engaged in flagrante delicto. Come on. Now, I actually did watch them put the ICD into me chest the first time they did it, and that was fascinating. And unfortunately, the doctor who did it, though, he died. He was a young man, great guy, and he died in Hawaii after the surgery. I mean, I can't believe I outlived him. That's, like, amazing. I still can't believe that. But anyway, okay, so you'd like to see your own conception and birth. And I mentioned this yesterday, but there are people out there who have videotapes of their own birth, but I don't want to see mom. No, I don't want to see that. There are some things that are best left to the imagination, I think, and that's one of them.
Well, I just threw that in because I thought it would be entertainingly unusual. But, you know, like I said, I called to talk about my travel horror story that happened a number of years ago.
Oh, I was going to say, or criminally obscene, one or the other. All right, so what happened? First of all, you're in Dallas, and you've never been to Dealey Plaza. And all I can tell you is if I was in Dallas on the 60th anniversary of JFK's assassination, I would be at Dealey Plaza all day tomorrow. So shame on you, sir. Shame on you. Okay, now you've got a travel horror story.
Well, a number of years ago, I was flying up to Buffalo, and it was a pretty long flight. And I got seated in the back, and I'm thinking, well, that's as good because it's usually the tail section is the one that survives, so that's a good thing. But what I didn't realize was I was near the restroom facility, and during the flight, so many people went to the restroom, mostly overweight people like myself, and every time they would leave the restroom and that door would open, another different and unusual horrible smell would waft out, and all the other people that were sitting near me, we looked at each other, we spun our eyes around in circles and looked at each other and just started laughing, and it happened throughout the whole flight. We were just dying laughing, but it was horrible, absolutely horrible. It never ended.
Okay, this actually reminds me of a club we attended on Friday night. So this is bringing back some memories of last weekend for me and my wife, if she's listening, because, I mean, once she brought it to my attention, I could not unsmell it. And I couldn't wait to get home and just throw my clothes into the laundry because it's all I could freaking smell. But it might have been the disinfectant that was in the toilet. Now, did you – now, I don't – again, I'm not trying to be gratuitously fecal here, but did you have a chance to go – into the facilities yourself to make sure that the waste was being properly flushed? Because on the jets I was on, it was the most disgusting stew you could ever imagine on all four flights.
No, I didn't use the facilities, but all I know is every waft was a different, unusual bouquet. None of them were the same, and I just couldn't believe how horrible it was. Everyone was horrible. I was just dying.
Oh, that is just that. Well, think about the poor flight attendants. Not all jets have these, but I know the 737, some of the 737s have one of the restroom facilities up front, and the flight crew sits up front right by the door. That's got to be a hellish job. And I came out of one of the facilities on the plane, and I said something. This was in the first leg of the flight. I said something to the flight attendant, like, you are aware that this toilet is not working and it's already full, right? And there I am, like an absolute idiot, wearing my cream suit. Thank God for the dry cleaner. That's all I can say.
Oh my
gosh.
It's
the most disgusting thing I've ever experienced. I mean, it might as well have been a porta potty in the air. I've seen third world poop houses better than that.
I did ask the flight attendant if she had any noxzema I could put a dab under each nose hole like coroners do when they're out in the field, but she didn't have any.
Noxzema, try a cigar. Well, you can't fly. You can't smoke on flights anymore. Vicks VapoRub is very good for that.
Yeah, that's the stuff I was thinking about. Yes, exactly.
That's a good one. That's a good one right there. Okay, that is a travel horror story and one to which I can certainly relate. But I wish you'd have gone into the facilities to determine whether or not they were actually flushing.
No, because if it was that bad on the other side of the aisle by the door, I can imagine how potent it was inside there.
But I mean, okay, let's be very, very frank here. A toilet is supposed to flush and leave the next user of the toilet with a clean bowl into which to make a deposit. And this was not the case on four separate flights. And, you know, a lot of people, I mean, let's also be frank here. A lot of people, when they travel, develop lower GI symptoms. So I can only imagine how wretched that must have been.
Yeah, like that lady that flew and had the runs and wiped out the entire plane practically.
I'm not familiar with that story, or am I just missing a joke?
No, it's real. Apparently, she had to use the facility, and they didn't want her to, but she had to. She got up, and she went, and before she got to it, she had pretty much marked the entire aisle all the way from her seat to there, and it was a biological hazard, and it was just horrible for everybody.
When, okay, were you on this flight? Why do I not know about this?
No, I heard about that in the news. It was a biological disaster all across the aisle. She couldn't hold it before she got to the thing, and it went everywhere, all over the place.
Oh, that poor woman. I feel so horrible for her.
It's awful. My God.
Yeah, I mean, that's something you're just never going to live down. I mean, was that in the cell phone era where everybody's got a video recorder in their pocket?
I heard that was recently, probably within the past year. All I know is they should have let her use it when it's an emergency. They didn't believe her. And obviously she proved it was an emergency, but she couldn't get it in time.
That's one hell of a way to make your case that it's a lower GI emergency. She showed them all right, but I mean, understand, and I mean this. You're breathing like really heavily into the phone, and I'm getting like aroused. So let's just think about this.
I'm pacing. Well,
no, dude. Okay, well, stop pacing or stop breathing. Do one or the other because you're working me up into a frenzy of lust.
oh my God,
I'm a sick man. But anyway, no, that story, it might have been a situation, and I don't know the details. I guess I've fallen behind on feces in the news, but. It might have been a case where the plane was entering an area of known or suspected turbulence, and the captain might have had the seatbelt on. And when the captain has the seatbelt on, you are not to exit your seat for any reason whatsoever, even a bathroom emergency, because they don't want you conking your head on the ceiling and breaking your neck and ending up dead like Billy Mays.
Well, that could have been the reason, but I really don't know. I just remember the horrible details of the story for her and everybody else. There are pictures of it online.
I don't. You know what? Despite my German ancestry, I think I'm going to hold off on looking up those pictures.
There you go.
I feel just horrible for that poor woman.
Yeah, it was horrible for her. Yeah.
Thank you very much, I think, for the phone call. So we go from a guy who wants a video of his conception and his birth to a man who ends with a horror story involving human waste, and I'm suddenly concerned about Carl in ways I can't even begin to tell you. it happens, and that must have been one hell of a flight. I wonder what she had in her carry-on bag, if she had any extra clothing in the carry-on bag, and then what did she do with the old clothes? Why did you bring this up, sir? Now I'm going to be obsessed with this all night long. I'm going to be looking up poop flight all night long. Thanks a lot. I guess if it was a cruise ship, it would have been the poop deck. Anyway, it is, I'm always good for a two-year-old joke every now and again. All right, so... very, very interesting program. I don't know. Some people are saying, well, in the time machine, you'd need to have a source of power to charge the phone. Look, if we built a time machine, do you think we wouldn't put outlets in there and appropriate power so you could charge your phone? Of course we would do that, because that's the... With Odyssey, I mean, we spare no expense, okay? So our time machine, I promise, will have places you can charge your phone. And that's the one thing I will say, if you're going through the dreaded Newark International Airport, at a lot of the gates, they do have big desks at which you can sit to charge your phone and use your laptop and all happy sorts of business like that. But I realize that a lot of the major airports are huge. I get it. I've been to Charlotte enough, but Charlotte just seems so homey and cozy. If you've ever been to Charlotte, isn't that a nice, bigger airport? I think it is. Newark is like, to me, it's a labyrinth. I feel like a rat chasing cheese in a maze. And what was really dreadful was the fact that nobody knew where we were supposed to go. And I finally cornered some transit authority police officers and said, hey, officers, I got a real problem because I keep getting different directions from different people. Can you give us a hand here? And they were cool, so they helped out greatly. And no, I was not wearing my suit on the flight back. Oh, my God. Oh, that poor suit. Oh, why did I buy a cream color suit? You know, just when I thought it was, just when I thought they, I'm not doing it. No. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back. Why? I can eat Italian food and not get anything on that suit. I walk into one bathroom and, yeah, you can use your imagination. It was very unfortunate. I'll say that much. Did get some looks.